Amen. Appreciate that special. Amen. Thankful for these young people. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 10 tonight as we continue our study in the Gospels. John chapter 10 is where we pick up tonight. Last week we saw Jesus heal a man that was born blind and the great power of the Lord to do that which would be impossible, but more than give the man physical sight, the man received spiritual sight and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the greatest gift that could happen to anyone. Tonight we come to chapter 10, and it's all about the Good Shepherd. If you're able, let's stand together to honor God's word tonight. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please give us understanding tonight, Lord, to hear your voice and your spirit, and help us to know you and to be known of you, to walk with you and be obedient to your voice. Lord, help us to follow you wherever you lead us. Please help me now, for I'm nothing without you, and I just pray that you bless your word, convict hearts. If someone here needs to be saved, to follow you in baptism, to serve you in the church, to repent or recommit their life to you, Father, whatever it is, I just pray that your will would be done in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And we're going to find out a little bit about this parable that the Lord gives. It's a parable that he spake to them, but they didn't understand what he was saying, and he gives a little more clarity in the following verses. But very quickly, a sheepfold, if you're not familiar with that term, was an enclosure to protect the sheep. Usually it was made of just a low rock wall, or maybe thorn bushes would be an enclosure, and the door was just an opening. And many times the shepherd would lay in the door. And so predators and thieves would have a hard time getting to the sheep because there was a wall or a protection with the thorn bushes. They would have to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. And this is the picture. Now, there were private sheepfolds where there would just be your sheep, and it was an open enclosure open to the sky, but it was enclosed around. You might have a private sheepfold, or it could be a village sheepfold, and all of the shepherds around that village would share it. And the amazing thing about that is when the shepherd would come to the door, he would call to his sheep in kind of a sing-song voice. He would call to his sheep, and his sheep would come out of the sheepfold. Not somebody else's sheep, just his sheep. And it's an amazing thing. I remember reading one time about a man who was over there in the area of Israel, and this was probably in the 20s, 30s in that area, and even then the shepherds would bring. And he was watching a crossroad one day when a shepherd was coming with his flocks from one direction and another shepherd was coming another direction, and they crossed each other at a crossroad. Well, each of those shepherds was talking and singing to their sheep, and as they went through, the sheep all mingled up, but as they came out the other side, each shepherd still had his sheep following his voice. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Because Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the Great Shepherd. And he said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And so he's giving us this picture of the sheepfold, and he's giving us a picture of him calling his flock. Now remember, Israel is God's chosen people, and they had the oracles, the word of God, and they should have been looking for the Messiah. They should have recognized his voice when they heard it. But Jesus is calling his flock out of the sheepfold, and he's going to start something new, his church. And that's what we see here. Remember the blind man who had just been called out of whatever he had been in, and now he was following Jesus Christ. He wasn't staying with the Pharisees and the Jews who didn't believe in Jesus anymore. He was coming out of that, and he was going to follow Jesus wherever Jesus said to go. And that's where we want to come to. Wherever we're at in our life without Christ, we need to come out of that and follow the Lord. And so that's the picture that we have. Now he says here, we see this picture, verses 1 through 6, of Jesus calling his flock. Now, Jesus enters by the door. And Jesus is going to kind of portray several different pictures in this. And a lot of times, if you use the parable, you would have to make sure that each element in the parable represents one thing. I want to tell you about Jesus. He represents a lot of things. A lot of things represent the Lord. When we study the tabernacle, Jesus is represented by just about everything in the tabernacle. He's not just the sacrifice, he is the altar. And when we see this, we're going to see that Jesus comes into the door, and he is the good shepherd, but he's also, we're going to see, he is the door. And so just beautiful pictures here of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he enters into the door. In other words, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he came at the right place, at the right time, in the right way, doing the right things. And so Israel should have recognized him as their Messiah. Micah said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Daniel tells us that he would come at the end of that 69th week. He would come at a certain time that Messiah would show up, and Jesus Christ showed up exactly on time. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin, which was prophesied in the Old Testament by Isaiah. And we see that Jesus was doing what the Bible said he would do. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And Jesus Christ came preaching and healing and teaching and doing all the things that Messiah was to do. Jesus came in the right way. But he tells us that not everyone did come in the right way. He said, "But he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And the Lord's telling us that all those others who have come, those religious leaders who have been pretenders, they are not the one that you need to follow. I'm the one you need to follow. In verse 3, he tells us that he'd be recognized by the porter. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Now, the porter was kind of the doorkeeper, and a lot of people have different ideas about who the porter is, but I believe the porter is a picture of John the Baptist. Now, from his womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was to be the forerunner of Christ. He was supposed to tear down the high places and raise up the low places to make the path straight and prepare the way for Messiah to come. And when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he was the one that recognized Jesus Christ. He recognized him as Messiah, and he pointed everyone to Jesus. He must increase, I must decrease. I'm not even worthy to unloose the latches of his shoes. Follow him. Listen to him. And so he was the one that opened the way for Jesus to come in and to begin to call out of the sheepfold his sheep. He said, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." And I want to tell you something, friends. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died for every man, woman, and boy and girl. He's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I believe that when Jesus was lifted up, he drew all men to himself. I believe that he made a way, and he is a drawing to all men. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God moves in a man's heart when God calls him, and I'm so thankful the Lord called me to salvation. I want you to get that. The Spirit of God, it wasn't just some general thing that the gospel went out. God dealt with your heart when you were saved. The Spirit of God called you. The gospel got a hold of you. Jesus' voice, you heard him calling you to come to him. Did you not? And I think it's a beautiful thing to know that he calls each one of us by name. He didn't just make a general broadcast. Listen, I was raised up in church. I've heard a lot of sermons in my life. I've had a lot of people who poured the gospel into my life, Sunday school teachers and pastors and evangelists and different ones, men and women, who have taught me the scriptures. And I want to tell you that it wasn't just some general broadcast. When the Lord called me to be saved, the Lord spoke to me. He called me. And he calls us by name. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And I just love that picture. You see those that were stuck in Judaism and in the Pharisees, their oral tradition of what they had made the law, and they had corrupted the law, and they had led people astray for so long. And now Jesus is calling them out of that into following him as he would establish his church. Now, here we are today, and we're not stuck in Judaism. We're not stuck in some false religion. But friends, we can get stuck in some places we don't need to be. And wherever we're at, Jesus would call us out of that to follow him. And he will lead us. We sang this morning, "Where he leads me, I will follow." And friends, we need to make up that decision, make up our minds to make that decision once and for all. Where he leads me, I will follow. Recognized by the porter. Some would say John the Baptist was the porter. Others might argue that the porter is the Holy Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, either way, Jesus is the one who has authority to come in and to call his sheep. He's the only one that could come in. And anybody else who would come in and try to call sheep to follow them would have to come another way. They're not worthy to come in at the door. He calls his sheep by name. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. Look at verses 4 and 5. "When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." I'm going to tell you, when you're born again, the Spirit of God will come and live inside of you. The Spirit of God will teach you and will guide you and will show you all truth. And when the Spirit of God is inside of you, you might get confused from time to time, but you will not continue to follow false doctrine. If you are indeed born again, the Spirit of God is in you, and the voice of the Lord will lead you, and you can find the truth if you'll look for the truth. Well, I had to be led astray. I want to tell you, when I talk to people and they don't believe that Jesus is God, or they've been caught up in some kind of heresy, like we talked about this morning, my heart breaks for those people. Listen, I don't look down on them. I feel sorry for them, and I want them to know the truth because of this. If they can't see the truth that Jesus Christ is God, then they don't know Jesus. They might know another Jesus, but they don't know the Christ of the Bible. And I want them to know him. They're called out of the fold to follow him. "When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. We saw a couple of weeks ago that it's good to believe in Jesus, but Jesus said to those that believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And that's what the Lord's saying. He didn't just call you out, I prayed a prayer and I got saved, and now I'm just going to do what I want to do. No, if you've been called out by Jesus, then you ought to follow Jesus, because he's going before you and he's leading you in the way. I worry about American Christianity today. So many people have repeated some prayer, had some preacher pray over them. They think they're right with the Lord, but they continue to live in sin. They continue to live in the ways of the world. There's no distinction between those in the so-called churches and those in the world. And friends, it ought not to be so. Listen, if you've been called out by Jesus and you're following Jesus, you're not going to look like the world and act like the world and do the things the world does. There's going to be a difference. Listen, Jesus isn't leading you back into your old ways. He's leading you into new life and life everlasting. He's leading into something different. His sheep will not follow a stranger. We understand when it comes to salvation that we either belong to the devil because we're still lost in our sin, or we belong to Christ. And friends, we cannot serve two masters. We have to make up our mind whether we're going to follow Christ once and for all, or we're going to continue to go back into the world. You can't do both. It's one or the other. And God's called us to come out and to follow him. Not only does he call his flock, but he cares for his flock. In verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were they were which he spake unto them." And it just comes down to this: they couldn't understand because they didn't believe. Because they didn't believe, they didn't have the Spirit. Because they didn't have the Spirit, they couldn't understand the truth. You have to believe if you're going to understand. Listen, if you think Jesus is a liar, if you think he's anything less than what he claimed to be, you'll never understand his words because you don't believe them. Why would he give you understanding if you don't believe? But when you believe, he will open the eyes of your understanding. In verse 7 says, then said Jesus again unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So now Jesus is going to get very specific. He gave them this broad general parable, and now he's going to begin to break it down for them. I told you that there was a sheepfold. I told you that some come in the wrong way. I told you that there's one who should come in that the porter recognizes, and he has the right and authority to call out his sheep, and he'll lead them in the right way. And they don't understand it, so he begins to break it down. And Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd cares for his flock. I am the door of the sheep. I told you the sheepfold was an enclosure, that it had an opening. It wasn't literally a door like you think of at the back of the room or on the sides of the room. It was just an opening. And the shepherd would lay in the opening so when the wolves come or the thieves came, he would know it and he could protect his sheep. I want you to know that Jesus Christ stands between you and the devil. He stands between you and your enemies. He stands between you and your old life. He stands between you and anything that would bring you away from him or anything that would cause you harm. They have to go through Jesus to get to you. And that's a good thing. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Listen, Jesus Christ literally put his life on the line for us, for his sheep. I am the door of the sheep. He protects us. Verse 8 says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I love the fact that there were many in Israel who were not deceived by the false teachings. They weren't deceived by those oral traditions that went against the Word of God. There were many who were not deceived. Men like Simeon, who waited the day of the coming of the Lord. The Lord had promised him that he would see the Messiah. And when Jesus was brought into the temple as a little baby boy, he got to hold Jesus in his arms. The promise of God fulfilled. Why? Because he was looking for the Messiah. Because he wasn't deceived. And Jesus was just a little baby, but I want to tell you, he trusted in Jesus, and he was saved by Jesus. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? As he looked at him, as he longed for him, as he trusted in him, he wasn't led astray. His sheep, like Simeon, they didn't hear the voice of the strangers. They were always listening to the voice of God through his word and his spirit. And the same thing could be true for us today, dear friend. You don't have to be led astray. There are a lot of voices out there. I'm going to tell you, there's guys on TV and guys on the internet and guys on YouTube and guys on Facebook. And you've got family members and friends, no doubt, that will tell you all kinds of different things. There are a million voices clamoring for your attention and for your ear and to change your mind and your heart today. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're not going to hear the strangers. You know it when you hear it. Hey, tell me. How many of you have ever flipped through the radio stations and come across somebody preaching on the radio when you're driving? Anybody? And I'm going to tell you, there's been a few times I've gone through and I thought, hey, that sounds pretty good. And you don't have to listen long before you figure out whether it's good or not. You figure out whether it's truth or not. And sometimes I've found really good Bible preaching on the radio. But most of the time I've found a bunch of nonsense that I know is not true. How do you know? How do you know? Because if you're listening to the voice of Jesus, you're going to recognize the voice of the strangers and you're not going to follow them. This isn't the Lord. This isn't my shepherd. This is not his truth, and you won't follow them. Jesus protects us. Jesus saves. Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door, and if you want to be saved, you're going to have to go through him. He's the only way for us to enter in. We know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But if you come in by him, you will be saved. And not only will you be saved, you'll be protected and you'll be provided for. When you come to Jesus, he saves you. He saves you from your sin. He saves you from death. He saves you from hell. He saves you from everything that we are without Christ. He saves us and then he provides for us. You'll go in and out and find pasture. And the Lord has not just given us life, he's given us abundant life. And he wants to provide for you. Jesus Christ is no thief. This is really important in verse 10. The accusation that keeps coming against Jesus is that he is a devil or he has a devil. Surely you have a devil. You cast out demons by the devil himself. Those were the accusations they made against Jesus. I want to tell you, Jesus is no thief. In verse 10, the word of God says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The thief is Satan. And Satan has an agenda. Satan's agenda is not to let you have a little bit of fun. Satan's agenda is not for you to get out from under a religion. Satan's agenda is not to show you that God's trying to oppress you and take away your fun and that you can live however you want to in the world. Satan's agenda is none of those things. Satan's agenda is to steal and to kill and to destroy. I remember at camp a couple of years ago, one of the men preached, and I can't even remember the brother's name right now, but it was good preaching. He said, "You may want to play with sin, but the devil's not playing. You may think you can play with sin, but the devil isn't playing." You see, it's little temptations that seem so innocent, it's things, and it starts slowly that we look out there in the world and we don't think it's so bad, and he brings us in gradually. What I want to tell you is his goal is not to get you just a little way. His goal is to destroy your life completely. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. He hates you. And so many people are deceived into thinking the devil's their friend. They just have a little fun. Just want to go out and blow off a little steam. Everybody else is doing it. It's not a big deal. I'm going to tell you, friends, it is a big deal. And if you're deceived by the devil, I fear for you because his goal is to destroy you. You think about the devil and how much he hates you, how much he hates Jesus. I don't know why any of us ever listened to him. Why we heed temptation, why we yield to temptation. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came to give life. They could call him a devil. They could say he had a devil. They could say he healed and did miracles by the power of the devil. But the truth is, he's no thief. He didn't take anything. He gave everything. A lot of people like verse 10. Jesus Christ came to give you life, and he came to give you life more abundantly. That's good, isn't it? There are some guys out there that want to take this verse and use it to tell you that if you'll send them a little bit of money, God will give you abundant amounts of money. I could see the temptation to preach something like that. Not really. I don't understand it. I want you to understand something clearly tonight. Jesus is talking about spiritual life. This doesn't mean if you come to Jesus by faith that you're going to have a bigger house, a nicer car, more money. It's not what it's talking about. The abundant life that Jesus gives, as a matter of fact, may be much, much worse physically than what you have right now. Jesus Christ didn't have where to lay his head. Jesus Christ was scourged and beaten and mocked and spit upon and nailed to a tree. The Apostle Paul was given abundant life. His life was full of being imprisoned and scourged and whipped with canes and stoned and left for dead and shipwrecked. He went through times of hunger and nakedness and peril, and people were trying to kill him. On a regular basis, he was running for his life, literally. Now, we may joke about it sometimes. Sometimes I'm preaching, and some of you look at me like you'd like to kill me. I don't know if you realize that looks on your face, but it's there sometimes. But Paul literally had people trying to kill him, and he lived in peril all the time. But Jesus said, "I gave him abundant life." So what we're talking about here is spiritual life. That's why Paul could say, "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life, my physical life, dear unto myself." The stuff that happens physically, it doesn't matter because I have abundant life in Christ. I have spiritual life in Christ, and the sorrow and trouble and stuff that we deal with in this life is nothing to be compared with the glory that he has in store for those that love him. Amen. Jesus is no thief. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The devil wants to take your life. These false teachers, the scribes and Pharisees that are leading you astray, they want to take your life. I'm not looking to take anything. I'm looking to give. He wanted to give life, and he would give life by giving his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. To contrast that, we look at verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Sometimes a shepherd would hire someone to watch their flocks. If a shepherd was wealthy enough and he could afford it, he would pay somebody to stay up and watch his sheep. The problem is, when you're only watching the sheep for money, when your life is in danger, the money doesn't seem so important. So the hireling, when danger comes, he runs away. In other words, these Pharisees and scribes, these false teachers, they were trying to teach the people, and they tried to pretend like they cared about them, but really, they were just in it for the money. They were just in it for the power and the prestige. They didn't care about the people. If you need evidence, you'll know that the reason they wanted to kill Jesus is because he did awful things like heal people on the Sabbath day. They didn't care about the blind man. They didn't care about the lame man. They didn't care about anybody but themselves. If they truly cared for the people, they would have rejoiced when they were healed. They didn't rejoice. They just hated Jesus more and more. The hireling, when trouble comes, they run away. But Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Friends, this is precious. Jesus knows you if you're saved. You know Jesus if you're saved. And both of those truths are beautiful and vital. Jesus knows his sheep. A lot of times we'll ask somebody if they're saved, we'll say something like, do you know the Lord? You remember in Matthew 8, Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will say to them in that day, Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. We ask somebody if they know the Lord. It's good. Do you know the Lord? But it's more important, does he know you? And you might say, well, he's God. He knows everything. He knows everyone. But there's a difference in the way the verb know is used. I'm talking about he knows you as his own. He knows you as his sheep. He knows you as his child. He knows you because you've been born again by his Spirit. That's different than the fact that Jesus knows everybody on the planet. He knows all 7.8 billion people, each individual one, and all the hairs of their head. He knows everything about them. But that's different than knowing his own. And when you have heard his voice and believed on him and followed him, he knows you. And he says, I am known of mine. If Jesus knows you, then you ought to know Jesus. Not just about him. You ought to know him. Think about the people that you really know. You're probably sitting next to some of them. Sometimes we watch TV shows and we feel like we know the people we're watching. had the chance to go to Silver Dollar City a few weeks ago, just a quick trip up there, and while we were there, we saw Anna Duggar. I don't know if anybody ever watched any of the Duggars, 19 kids and counting. Buddy. Yeah, it's one of those things. I've watched that show enough to go, I kind of know. You know? You watch them get married, you watch them start having babies, you watch them kind of, their kids start growing up, and you feel like you know, but I don't know Anna Duggar. I don't know her at all. Didn't even say hi to her. I know who she is, but I don't really know her. I know my wife. I had to date her for 15 years before I could get her to marry me. It's not exactly true. Just felt like it. But Melissa and I went to high school together, and we dated. We did have a long courtship, and we've been married for almost 15 years now. I know her. I know her. That's different. We ought to know Jesus. Not just about him. It ought not be like we're watching a TV show when we read the scriptures. It ought not be like we're watching some TV show when we study the Bible that we just kind of know about him. Friends, we ought to know him. And that only comes by walking with him, by personally listening to his voice. And I'm afraid too many times we let somebody else do the listening for us and we just kind of go along. Sheep are like that. You get one of them to start going somewhere, the rest are going to follow. That's the way they are. But I don't want to follow the stinky sheep in front of me. I want to follow the shepherd. I don't want to listen to the bleating of the sheep and let that be my guide. I want to listen to the voice of my Savior and let him be my guide. I want to know him. And he says that he knows his and his know him. It's an intimate relationship, friends. It's a real relationship. It is something precious. And it ought to be closer and more real than any relationship you have. More than your relationship with your spouse, more than your relationship with your parents, more than your relationship with your children. This relationship with Christ ought to be greater and closer than any other relationship you have. To know him. Verse 15, he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, when Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know me, he goes on to say, I know the Father and the Father knows me. In the same relationship, the unity that he has with the Father, that's the same kind of unity he wants to have with us. That's what he prayed for. He prayed for us to be one. The way that he and the Father are one, that you and I would be one with him. Friends, that's tighter, that's closer, that's more intimate than you and I ever can understand. I don't think we get how much Jesus loves us and how much Jesus wants to be close to us. This isn't for somebody else. This is for me personally. And everyone can put their hand on their heart tonight and say, Jesus loves me. He wants to be close to me. He wants me to know him. And it's a beautiful truth. The same way that he knows the Father and the Father knows him, he wants to have that unity, that closeness, that fellowship with us. And just a reminder, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In case you've lost any motivation about wanting to know this good shepherd, let me just remind you again, I lay down my life for you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. The same way I know my Father, I want you to know me. And I lay down my life for you. Verse 16, praise God, my Gentile brothers and sisters, for verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Listen, Jesus Christ said there are other sheep that are not of this fold. What fold was he dealing with? He was dealing with Israel. But I've got news for you. Jesus said, I've got other sheep outside of this fold of Israel, and I'm going to call them, and they're going to hear my voice, and they're going to follow me. And he's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about you and me, because, I don't know, maybe some of you are of a Jewish descent tonight, but the truth is, almost everybody here is a dirty, filthy Gentile. We're not even half-breeds like the Samaritans. We're just barbarians. But Jesus made a way for us to be saved. And he called us out of where we were so that we could be part of his fold. And he took some out of the fold of Israel, and he's taken some out of the Gentiles, and he's made one fold, which is his church that we're a part of today. Praise the Lord. Look at this with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. You listen, I know you guys grew up in the Bible Belt. Most of you are from the South. How many of you are from the South? Put your hands up. Are you ashamed of it? How many of you are Northerners? Okay, let's try that again. How many of you are from the South? Okay, how many of you don't know where you're from? Listen, I'm Southern born and Southern bred. Yeah, well, sooner, but yes. When I die, I'll be sooner dead. That's all true. But I grew up in the Bible Belt. Listen, my grandmother was a faithful woman in the church, Landmark Missionary Baptist Church in Vian, Oklahoma. She was a faithful woman in that church, and my family's come up that way. That's what I know. But I want you to get this. We were outside of hope. The Gentiles were in darkness without hope, without God in this world. And until God opened up the gospel to the whole world, we would have been without hope. You and I have grown up with it. We've grown up with Jesus loves me, this I know. But that's not where we were. And we need to appreciate what Jesus was saying when he said this. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and they're going to hear me and they're going to follow me. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens or strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And we were without hope, without God, but the Spirit of God came and the gospel of God came, and he brought us out of the world, out of the darkness, into his marvelous light, and we have life everlasting and hope forever because Jesus Christ tore down the middle wall partition. It's no more Jews and Gentiles. It's those with Christ and those without Christ. That's it. And if you have the Son of God, you have life. And if you have not the Son of God, you have not life. And that's it. That's the only distinction. Listen, you ought not be racist. You ought not be racist. We're all human beings created in the image of God. And the only distinction, the only separating fact between anybody on this planet today is either you have Christ or you don't have Christ. That's it. That's it. And I praise God. I've met brothers and sisters from all over the world, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, when you meet somebody for the first time, and almost instantly you see the light in their eyes, there's something different about them. And what is it? It's the Spirit of Christ that's in them, that's in me. And it doesn't matter where we came from. It only matters that Christ died for us and we trusted in Him, the Good Shepherd. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And Jesus Christ always did the things that pleased His Father. So when the Father commanded Him to come and to lay down His life, He laid it down. When He commanded Him to take it up again, He took it up again. And by the way, those who attack the deity of Christ would attack this. Well, who raised Jesus from the dead? Because the Scriptures tell us that God raised Him from the dead. But guess what? Jesus said, I lay it down and I take it up again. So which one is it? God or Jesus? Yes. Isn't that good? Nobody took His life. A lot of Christians in times past hated the Jews because the Jews murdered Jesus. I got news for you. The Jews didn't murder Jesus. Jesus gave up His life. The Romans didn't murder Jesus. Jesus laid down His life. Nobody killed Jesus. They couldn't kill Him. They could not kill Him. He gave up the ghost. He willfully put the spirit out of His body because He laid down His life. And then 3 days and three nights later, He took it up again. Praise God for His great love. Praise God that He loved us so much. And praise God that we have a good, good shepherd. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling everyone here to trust Him. He's calling everyone here to obey Him. He's calling every one of us to follow Him, not just to repeat some prayer and go on about our business and do what we want to do. He's calling us to follow Him day by day. And as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I'd like to ask you to stand with me. Do you hear His voice? He said, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear His voice? Do you hear Him when you read the Scriptures? Do you hear Him when you listen to the preaching of His word? Do you hear Him when you pray, when you get alone with God every day? Do you hear Him? And if you hear Him, are you following Him? Are you following Him? The Lord is calling. We need to hear. We need to follow, trust, and obey Him tonight while we sing.
Page 544. 544. Spirit's convicting your heart, you come.